I speak to you in the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Well, I haven't looked at the rota, so I don't know who's preaching next week, but I think this is my last, like, sermon in the aisle for a while until, you know, St. Cross Day, I got to go back to the fancy pulpit and all of that, so. Great readings this week. So much that we could talk about. But as I just had probably the best seats at the Hollywood Bowl this week, I really didn't feel that I could preach on the gospel with any integrity. So we're going to look at Hebrews today, which I think is important. As you all know, your rector is an Old Testament junkie. So for the one lesson, other Episcopal churches, you get one Old Testament and either something from Acts or the Epistles or Revelation, but we just tend to do one because you aren't retaining all of that, and I'm not doing it. B. Floyd can give you lots of reasons as to why it's important to read all of the lessons. We've had the discussion. But for this summer, we decided we would do the epistles that are assigned for this time period. And so I want to talk a little bit about Hebrews, which is a letter, we call it a Pauline letter, but Paul probably didn't write this letter, but we aren't going to get into that today. Go to EFM if you want to learn more. EFM is the four-year program to learn everything biblically you never knew. Go see Susan Tucker to talk about it. I just want to talk about exhortation, which was a device, a writing style, if you will, that is present in the letters. Remember, these letters were written to new Christian communities, communities that were the underdog, that this wasn't the, you know, the religion of everybody. They were often shut out from their families. They were often seen as the weirdos. They were my kind of people. And so these letters were written for encouragement, sometimes for correction, to say like, hey, I'm not sure you all are quite doing it right. But this part of Hebrews was exhorting people to live a life that followed Jesus. And so I want to walk through what they were telling us to do in today's letter. And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 7 points. I mean, it was packed in, like, here are the things you need to be doing. And they're the same things, folks, that we need to be doing today. So, if you were going to take something out and, like, tape it to your mirror to, like, practice your faith through the week, you can just take this little Hebrews passage. So the first thing that it says is, let mutual love continue, which I love. We're going to celebrate Tom Malone's life later today, and we're going to talk a lot about God's love at that service. But love isn't ever in isolation. Love is always in relationship. And so mutual love isn't just I love you, but it's also letting you love me back. It is what happens in our Christian community. And the writer of Hebrews is saying this needs to continue to happen. And when you fall out of relationship, you need to get back in it. You can't just walk away or leave it broken. I love the next one. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Hospitality to strangers. And we aren't just talking about the nice people who put on, you know, a nice outfit to come to church on Sunday to be with us, although we are talking about that. Make sure you invite them to coffee and a donut. But what they're really talking about is, think about who is it that you going back to the gospel, who is it that you wouldn't invite? Who is it that you don't ever want to see walking through your door to sit at your table? Who is the person that you find does not deserve to be there? That's who Jesus is talking about inviting in. That's who the author is saying we need to be paying attention to. And not just paying attention to, but actually being in relationship, hearing their story and sharing our story with them. It's something that we strive to do when you live in a purple parish, and sometimes we do that better than others. but it's about being in relationship and sharing our story and respecting one another in our differences. For each and every human being is beloved child of God. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Now, this is where I could go on a political rant about the prison system in California and our challenges of a large corporate prison system. I am not going to go down that road today. I'm just going to dangle it out there, and then somebody can write me an email today. I'm ready for it. I knew what I was saying. But it is talking about how we treat people, again. How do we treat another human being? Whether they've done something horribly wrong, whether they have done their best but failed, whether they are struggling with mental illness or addiction. But the being in jail, and jail at that time was different. Jail at that time, you were not given food necessarily. If you were in jail at the time this letter was written, you were actually dependent on people on the outside to come and take care of you. But the same could be said of our system today. You don't have someone who's paying attention, advocating for you, checking in on you. That's a very different story. Same, quite frankly, in our medical system. You have to have advocates. This letter is talking about being an advocate for those who don't have one. Be in relationship with those who need our help. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Well, there we go. Did you hear that? Good? We're good. Great. You know, right after politics, don't talk about sex from the pulpit either. But the truth of the matter is, this is actually, again, about taking care of the least of these. Men in those days had far more availability to go outside of one's marriage. It was actually just kind of the way it was. And so this person writing the letter says, respect the person that you have taken a vow with. Be true to them. Remain in relationship with them. Don't break that relationship. You get the theme that we have going on here in the letter of Hebrews? What just might be important along the way? Keep your lives, all right, here we go, you ready? Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave or forsake you, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Well, I think all of us are challenged by that one. It's hard. We live in a society where money is how things happen. It's how you get clothed, it's how you get fed, it's how you get around. And so what is, again, our relationship with money? Do we use our relationship with money to do good in the world, or does our relationship with money control our decisions? This is something that we talk about off and on throughout our Christian life. So let's see, we got politics, we got money, and sex. I think I've gotten them all today. You can cross your bingo cards off. Right? But this is what the author is talking about. Not that money is bad, but what is our honest relationship with money? Do we use the wealth that we have been given, whether it is the widow's mite or millions of dollars, to take care of those around us? Do we use it so that others can have a better life? So that everybody can be fed, everybody can be housed, everybody can be clothed. This is what the author is talking about. Again, being in right relationship. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are not talking about me or Reverend Patty or Reverend Michelle. That's what I said, Reverend Patty. That's exactly what I said. But we are talking about the leaders in our church. We're talking about your vestry. We're talking about the people who show up to help out. We're talking about those who are putting together Women's Day and leading the stewardship drive. We're talking about the acolytes and the choir who will be back up there. You should remember them in your prayers. And I do commend their faith of taking the extra step of giving themselves to God's work in new and different ways. And our lives are busy, and they are full, and we all have many, many things to do. And yet I ask that you remember the leaders of St. Cross in your prayers, for they have given their time so that we can gather and worship and prayer and mission and outreach in all of the things that make us the Christian community that we are. And then at the end of today's reading, through Jesus, then let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that confess his name. And then hear that great line that you'll sometimes hear right before we take up the offering. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. All the author asks us today is to be in relationship, to be aware of our relationships, to tend to them, our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, our relationship with our church community, and yes, our relationship with power and money and all of the things that our culture tells us are more important than God. Be in relationship. Tend to them, for there is no greater gift from our Creator. Amen.